on Sundays. All right, I go to Blackpool for my holiday. Sit in the open sunlight. This is my street, and I'm never gonna leave it. And I'm always gonna stay.
Welcome to the Strange Brew podcast. My name's Jason Barnard, and you've been listening to, well, one of the amazing tracks from the mid to late 60s from the Kinks, Autumn Almanac. I do say this quite a few times on the show, but this is a particular honour to have a real special guest on the show today, and he's picking a range of fantastic material that's got some connection with his career and life, and it is Andy Morton. Andy was a prime inspiration on me setting up The Strange Brew, because a few years back he had an incredible podcast called Toffee Sunday Spash, which educated many people on the delights of 60s psychedelia. Andy, thank you so much.
Hello, thanks for that. I'll try and get my head through the door after that, after those compliments. I'm a fan of the music. I think, like everything, I'm one of those people that gets into stuff and then has to sort of shout about it from the rooftops and bore people in pubs and all the rest of it. You know, but you do that for long enough and you realise that after a while there are like-minded, sympathetic souls around you. You've just got to find them. So the whole point of Toffee Sunday Smash was me just sort of playing music that I liked. And I bought a Mac and, you know what, they're great. You know, it's all there. You just cue the tracks up and press publish and suddenly I had this podcast. So that was an experiment as much as anything. But going back to the Kinks, I mean, the reason I chose that as a sort of starting point today is because when I was first really getting into this stuff, I bought four albums, which I completely blame for me being the way I am now. And two of them were Kinks compilations. They were Golden Hour of the Kinks. There was a kind of hits one. And there was that incredible one, which is a double album. It's got a 44 tracks on it, 11 tracks on each side. And it covered loads of stuff from Something Else, Village Green, Face to Face, Lola. And I think even the Percy soundtrack is covered on there. And I just couldn't get over how bonkers it was. And I didn't really know that music at the time. I was still just getting into the whole 60s thing. So I thought that would be a good place to start with Autumn Almanac, which is just one of the most perfect pop records that I've ever heard. It's just full of bits. You know, he doesn't repeat himself, apart from the main kind of chorus part of the song. And then there's that slightly quasi-psychedelic fade-out at the end, just like a tiny nod to the prevailing sort of sounds of the day, because there's one thing the Kinks weren't, and that was psychedelic. No. You know,
yeah.
But their whole Britishness and their care with songwriting and with arranging and so on, I think puts them firmly in the vanguard of bands that influenced what we now think of as the British psych sound. I think Ray was highly responsible for a lot of that stuff. Truly great band.
Next we have The Crazy World of Arthur Brown and Prelude, Nightmare. Was that from a film, Andy, called The Committee from 1968?
Yes, The Committee, yeah. It's sort of an art film, I guess you would say. And yeah, Arthur Brown's in it and he walks in to a room and the band are set up and they do nightmare. Yeah. The reason I've included this one, and it's not, I can't really say I'm a particular Arthur Brown fan. However, this track for me is one of those moments, it's one of those great songs that I associate with sort of turning a corner, discovering music. And this really is down to, I used to go and see a band called The Prisoners a lot when I was in my mid-teens, sort of 85, 86 this would be. I would always be trying to find out about what music they were into. I couldn't quite figure them out. I could tell they were into the Small Faces and Booker T and the MGs, but I knew that there was other stuff going on. I just didn't know what it was. And somebody said to me, oh, there's this Prisoners song called The Drowning, and it's a complete rip-off of Nightmare by The Crazy World of Arthur Brown. Now, I needed all the signposts and help I could get at the time, so I just went next door. This was at the 100 Club in Oxford Street. I went next door, literally ran out of the club, went next door, the shop was still open, and I bought The Crazy World of Arthur Brown album there and then, purely because someone had said The Prisoners had ripped off this song. So this is another one of those records that when I didn't have a lot of records and I was still finding my way and trying to join the dots and educate myself, and I really didn't know anything about this music, it was all still out there to be had. It's one of those songs I just thought, wow, this is nuts. And it was a whole new strand of music I didn't know about, this late 60s kind of underground, the more progressive side of psychedelia, shall we say, that had come out of jazz and blues. And I didn't know about Arthur Brown. I didn't even know Fire, you know, at this point. I just didn't know that kind of music. I hadn't heard it.
Cool. The Crazy World of Arthur Brown, Prelude Nightmare.
Thank you.
The Crazy World of Arthur Brown and Prelude Nightmare. Andy, certainly in my world, there are bands that stand shoulder to shoulder with the most famous bands, and they'd have been number one, etc. And one of those groups are The Creation. Mm. And you've picked one of their amazing singles from, I think it was 1967?
Creation, Life is Just Beginning, yes.
The strings on that record as well, just a great production.
It is. They're a fascinating group. I won't start on them because I'll never stop. But I mean, this is a great record, I think, because of the strings and because they're slightly wild stage antics, and that kind of more hooey R&B pop art aspect had been sort of toned down a little bit by this point. The compilation, How Does It Feel to Feel compilation on Edzell, which I think came out in 82 or something, is one of the first ones I got. I bought that and the Action comp and Blink by The Eyes and A Midsummer Night's Scene by John's Children on Bam Caruso at the same time. After my Kinks Small Faces Who moment a couple of years earlier, that was the next biggie for me, really, getting those four albums and having that whole world of, like you said, the bands that didn't make it commercially or successfully at the time, but that we now look to as these almost godlike figures. And yeah, definitely The Creation are in there for me. And I think Life is Just Beginning, the strings and that sort of slightly more highfalutin kind of baroque tinge to the whole thing, I think suits them very well. I was going to suggest at this point, if you don't mind, that we actually play an alternate version of the song.
Yeah.
Which came out on one of those rare mod compilations that Acid Jazz have been doing of late. And I was a real surprise to me, because I mean, I know this song like the back of my hand, and to hear it 20 something years later with a whole nother verse and another bit in the middle of it was quite a revelation. So maybe we could use that one.
We certainly can. Let's hear the alternative version of Life is Just Beginning by The Creation.
Yeah.
So that was The Creation and Life is Just Beginning, the alternative version. And thanks, Andy, for sharing that with us today. Next, we have a band that I've played a few times on The Strange Brew, and one of their most popular tracks, Tales of Flossie Fillet. And they're a band from the Muswell Hill area and had some Kinks connections, I think, weren't they, Andy?
Turquoise, yes. They were Muswell Hill boys. I think they used to knock about with Dave Davis, particularly as teenage Herberts running around smashing milk bottles and all that. So they were kind of childhood friends, really. Turquoise are one of those bands that I think never really fulfilled their true potential. And they had a lot of patronage. The Kinks were interested. I think there was some connections with The Who. They had the Rolling Stones, Driver, Tom Keelock. He was their manager for a while. And I think given the right producer or something, they probably stood as good a chance as anyone around that time of actually having some success. As it was, they cut two singles in a fairly short period. They did record a load of other tracks, which came out eventually on a CD about 5 or 6 years ago, which was a CD I helped out with, actually, which Revola put out, which was called The Further Adventures of Flossie Fillet. I think there were maybe 6 or 7 acetates. And I went down there with this pile of acetates, and we heard all these great tracks like Flying Machine and all that for the first time. They were dropped by Decca as quickly as they'd been signed up. And that was the end of them. It's a very, as you know, Jason, it's a very, very, very common story. The reason I chose Tales of Flossie Fillet is because it's the first track on the first volume of a series of compilations called The Great British Psychedelic Trip, which were on Sea for Miles. And that was the first psych comp, pop psych comp I ever bought. And it's the first track on side one. And not only is it just still brilliant, and I love it dearly to this day, but, you know, the effect it had hearing that track, this is it. I knew there was more of this stuff. I just didn't know what it was. I didn't know how to get it. I didn't know if it was available. I didn't know if I had to go out and buy old singles to hear this stuff. And I put it on and I thought, wow, this sounds like The Kinks, and it sounds like The Small Faces, and it sounds like something else. And there were 20 tracks on that compilation. And I felt pretty much, I felt like I loved all of them on that first listen. Turquoise, Flossie Fillet, it's the first track on the comp. And I still love it now.
It all happened so many years ago. Nobody knows, cause nobody wants to know. Bob and Bob and girl Sydney Sand, they're the founding members, the leaders of the land. It's very sad. Just been born. So was Hector and friendly Percy Paul. When they're forgotten, who'll take their place? Another Flossie with a different face. It's very sad that they should spend. Plays us a tune. There's Dennis on the xylophone, Bessie on bassoon. You'll never believe it, what I have got to say. The tales of Flossie Fillet all happened in a day. It's very sad that they should spend all of their lives, that it should. It's time for her to go. Say goodbye to Moon the Loon and dinner in Dr. a dose. Don't forget the little man who couldn't pronounce his name. Tommy Kilo, 6'2", spent his on a train. Johnny Two Goods in a cab and going round and round. Gianni Matti's in a kilt and going up to tune. Anita Gray, Pat and Dave have come to take a bow.
It's possible.
All our thanks to Stace the Face who did it, we don't know how.
It's possible.
Dave and Ray, Jonah, Jim, Bill the coat as well.
It's possible.
Marigold, Thick and Silver, Babs is ringing the bell.
It's possible.
La 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 la.
Turquoise and Tales of Flossie Fillet, the lead track from the Great British Psychedelic Trip Volume 1. Am I right that the next track is off the Rubble compilations?
Gosh, yeah, the Rubble albums, eh? Yeah, I've chosen the Cymbeline, Matrimonial Fears. Again, it's incredibly good. It's almost too good. I chose this track because, I mean, the Rubble albums, I could write a book about the Rubble albums. They were still coming out as I was buying them. When I bought the four British Psychedelic Trips, and then I looked at the Rubble albums. Now, the Rubble albums were £1 more each. They were £4.99, I think, and the Psych Trips were £3.99, and they had less tracks on. So it was a purely a financial decision almost to get the Psych Trips first. But then when I bought all of those and I realised that there was some legs in this and I was going to be doing this for some time to come, I started buying the Rubbles. And the Cymbeline were kind of, as I understand it, a fairly square kind of harmony vocal group. They did one or two slightly odd sides come 68 or possibly even 69, which I think might be the year that this came out. It doesn't sound like it, but, you know, I think they were a fairly conservative sort of harmony pop group, like a lot of those groups, like the Californians and people like that, who just did the odd bendy B-side here and there. And that's the kind of stuff that now they're sort of more remembered for. But I think Matrimonial Fears is bonkers, and the whole note, the sound effects and stuff at the beginning and the whole notion about it being about a guy who doesn't want to get married, and it's very sort of macho and a bit primitive. It's a bit Benny Hill, really, in its lyrics and stuff, but it's incredible.
Cool. Cymbeline and Matrimonial Fears.
Using you, I'd like to say a word about myself, 'cause
I'm the only one who do it. It's not the kind of thing another man could do. It wouldn't matter who it was.
I've been having the time of my life for several years. I won't marry a wife, I've got matrimonial fears. I'm just gonna carry on, carrying on. You won't find me in the church, my dear. I'll leave you in the lurch. I'm using you, using you. I'm using you, using you. I'm using you, using you.
So that was Cymbeline and Matrimonial Fears. And Andy, we've got the pleasure of hearing some of your own work, and arguably you're best known for your time in Bronco Bullfrog, and you did make some waves back in the day.
Yeah, sort of. This is going to sound incredibly jarring at this point. We've had like six of the best records ever made, and now we're going to hear this. But there we go. Yeah, Bronco Bullfrog, me and Mike and Louie, we had a band. They are as bonkers about this stuff as I am, and proper mentalists, record collectors, great musicians, funny guys, love them dearly. We got back together quite recently after a few years apart, while we sort of went off and grew up and sorted ourselves out and had children and whatnot. And it's great. It's better now than it's ever been, I have to say. We're all much better people than we were at the time. But yeah, sort of late 90s through early 2000s, we put a few records out. We went to Spain. They liked us in Spain, so we kept going back. It was a great band, and I really, really enjoyed being with it. The best things I think we did were the earlier things, because they were cut as just as demos, really, for a bit of fun. You know, we'd save up 150 quid and go in and record three songs, and then save up another 150 quid and go in and record three more. And we got to the point where we had 15 tracks, and the guys at Twist Records, which was a half German, half British label, And they put the first Bronco Bullfrog album out in 1998. But this is actually from the second one. I've chosen a track from the second album, partly because this is certainly a very deliberate tongue-in-cheek nod to a lot of the psych stuff that we liked, both in its sort of use of stupid noises and as a song. It is us sort of trying to be a rubble band, really. And it's called 738, and then in brackets, I don't really know why, Bug-Eyed and Breathless.
7:38, it's time to wake. The alarm clock rings and turns my dreams to daylight. I hear the rain outside again, but my eyelids must have healed over last night.
all the money I'll make.
Thanks very much for that, Andy. Bronco Bullfrog, excellent. So you've got another great connection to the next band on the show, Honeybus. That was the B-side of Can't Let Mackie Go, wasn't it?
We're going to play Tender Are the Ashes, aren't we? Yes. Mm. It was the B-side of Can't Let Mackie Go, yes. I mean, again, I tell you what, this track specifically reminds me of sitting in a pub called the Spread Eagle in Camden Town on Parkway with my friends who were in, and still are in, a band called the Aardvarks, who I was a big fan of and used to go and see religiously. And they had a Saturday lunchtime residency. We were having a Saturday afternoon snifter opposite in the Spread Eagle. And this kid had been at the gig and he bought some singles and we were nosing through his records. And he had a Can't Let Maggie Go, the single on DRAM. And my friend Gary, who's the singer in the Aardvark, said, "Nah, you don't want to bother with that old rubbish. Turn it over. The B-side's much better." I didn't know about Honeybus. So I made, again, mental notes. Fast forward a few years, by the point, you know, I've got into Honeybus, everything's been reissued, got the album, bought the T-shirt, all the rest of it. And after Bronco Bullfrog had been playing in Spain for a couple of years, the organisers of a festival called Felipop, which happens in Galicia, which is like the northwestern corner of Spain, they scored a bit of a coup by getting Pete Dello, who hadn't set foot on a stage in like 40 years or something, and Colin Hare, who had been an entertainer in the sort of kind of cabaret field, by getting them to go out to Spain and play the old songs as a duo stroke with a band. And they recruited Louis and I from the Broncos to be their band, along with a couple of Spanish guys, which was interesting. I mean, we knew the songs better than they did. This is one of those things that seems to happen a lot when they get somebody who isn't, you know, hasn't played their stuff for a while. And I said, "Well, get some young blood in. You know, we've got some good guys here to back you up. Don't worry, you're going to be fine. They know all the material." And then you start talking to Pete and Colin about songs, and they're like, "Don't remember that one. No, don't think I've heard that one." I'm thinking, what do you mean you haven't heard it? You're on it. It's your record. That seems to be quite a common thread with a lot of these 60s and 70s guys. You realise because you're a student of the music. And they were busy doing it and having a life and trying to earn a living and all the rest of it at the time, that they don't remember the details. They were just doing it and then dashing off to a gig in Huddersfield or whatever. You know, that was their life. But that was great. Anyway, the gigs went quite well. You know, we played some of the more lively tracks, including this one and Throw My Love Away and Delighted to See You. And I think She's Out There and some of the tracks from the album, which Pete wasn't on. We did those as a band, in a sort of rock and roll styly. And then we went off and they did some of the more gentle stuff, just the two of them with a couple of acoustic guitars and the lyrics propped up in front of them. Tender Are the Ashes, for me, just marks them out as being a bit of an old R&B band, which I think, if you ask them about it now, is probably what they would agree that they were once upon a time.
Running around and
we're moving on now, and it kind of mixes a bit of the older and new and a bit of your career. Mm-hmm. And it was a version of a classic single. I think it was single, but was it by Caleb Quay? Baby, Your Phasing Is Bad. And that's by your side project, the Campbell Stokes Sunshine Recorder.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, Campbell Stokes Sunshine Recorder. That's that was just me. Again, when the Broncos broke up, I didn't really want to do any music for a while, but I did get the bug again eventually, and I got my Mac by now. This is so I got Toffee Sunday Smash going because you can do that very easily on a Mac. And then there's all this recording equipment, and I thought, well, I'm going to use it. And so I had a few songs, a few old ones and a few new ones and a bit of this and a bit of that. By this point, because of sort of Shindig and things like that, which I guess we'll come to in a minute, I kind of met a lot of people and was in touch with a lot of labels and stuff like that. And I started getting asked to contribute to the odd compilation and the odd project and the odd this and the odd that. And when the lovely people, it used to be two guys at Through the Mare. I think it's just Keith now, but there were two guys originally. And when they said they were doing a compilation of cover versions of songs that were either originally phased, or if they weren't, then the cover version had to be phased. I thought, this is what a great idea. I mean, yeah, phasing is one of the real identifiers of British, you know, pop psych. The song that instantly leaps out of my mind when phasing comes up is the quite ironically and probably rather punningly titled Baby, Your Phrasing Is Bad, which we instantly just started calling Baby, Your Phasing Is Bad, you know, as you would. And so I don't know what possessed me to think for a second that I could try and record something that is that incredible, because the Caleb single is just absolutely staggering. I mean, he was a great musician, and he went on to a very long and successful career as a session guitarist, and he got the chance to release this, what is essentially a solo single. I believe it's the members of the Mirage backing him up on this. So yeah, Baby, Your Phrasing Is Bad, Caleb, and I recorded it. So when it came out on the comp, which is called, is it called a phase we're going through?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
I was very happy to be involved with the project, and it's a great album.
That's great. And before we listen to the Campbell Stokes Sunshine Recorder version of that, given we're talking about the Fruits de Mer, Fruits de Mer label, Keith has kindly donated two records to as a competition prize. So this seems the most appropriate time to announce latest Strange Brew competition. The prizes are the CD of the Soft Hearted Scientist album, False Lights, on the Hip Replacement label, plus a copy of the very limited 7-inch promo single, The Soft and the Strange One, which features the Scientist's song From the River, which is also from False Lights, plus two edited tracks from the forthcoming Strange Fish series of LPs out on Fruits de Mer. And the competition question is, can you name the first track ever played on the Strange Brew podcast? And answers to the Strange Brew at live.co.uk, or you can always message me on the Strange Brew podcast Facebook page. So apologies for that, Andy.
It's all right.
But let's go back to Baby, Your Phrasing Is Bad.
Baby, you're
So that was Andy's solo project, the Campbell Stokes Sunshine Recorder from the excellent A Phase We're Going Through compilation on Freedom Air, and that was Baby of Praising Is Bad. And moving on now, we have another band in the pantheon of 60s psych who are really up there, and you've got a great pop tune, Omnibus, and I understand you met Carl Wayne in your Shindig capacity, if you want to explain a little bit about Carl and your work on Shindig, Andy?
Shindig's a music magazine that I'm very, very heavily involved with. Before we were published by Volcano Publishing, which has been 6 years or something like that, and we were kind of distributed and available, the magazine existed on a kind of a DIY level, really. We sort of did it ourselves. John Mills started the magazine as a fanzine called Gravedigger years and years ago, kind of out of his bedroom in darkest Wiltshire. I met John when I moved to London in the early, mid-90s, just hooked up with him and started writing for him and reviewing things and saying, let's try this, let's try that. And our first real big scoop as a duo was that we met a guy called Rob Cager, who was representing Carl Wayne at the time. And we said, look, we want to do a really big move piece, you know, proper warts and all, get it all in there. And we met Carl. Yeah, we had a couple of nights out with him. He was a good guy. He was a proper old showbiz guy, you know. He took us to some swanky piano bar in Soho and ordered champagne in a very loud voice and told us all about his adventures. And yeah, it was really just a nice guy, exactly what you'd expect him to be. So we put together this colossal Move piece, and Move went on the front cover of Shindig. That was really the start of Shindig, I think, sort of becoming a more of a force to be reckoned with. To me, the Move were an exemplary group. One of their best songs, I think, was tucked away on the B-side of Wild Tiger Woman, which was their first out-and-out flop single. It's their fifth single. They'd had massive hits with the first four. They put Wild Tiger Woman out, which is kind of a bit of ahead of its time. It was a flop, and Omnibus is on the B-side of Wild Tiger Woman, and I'd always just thought it was far superior.
Great. Let's hear Omnibus by The Move.
There she is, I'm sure I've seen her, pushing in the queue to get to the front. Join the ladies in my dream. I know the perfect part you play.
Omnibus, right.
Omnibus by The Move. Is the next track something that you've got a strong connection to, Little Bear, Big Bear?
Yes, this is a kind of a side project stroke spin-off thing. When John Mills and I became friends and we started doing Shindig, and I became friends with some of his mates from Wiltshire, who a lot of whom had moved to London. And John and Andy and Rich had been in a garage band called The Nuthins, N-U-T-H-I-N-S. It just became a bit of a no-brainer one day that we should go and have a bit of a kickabout. I ended up playing guitar. John was playing guitar and singing. Rich was on drums. He's a stupendously good drummer. Andy Cornick was playing the bass. And we just go to this little lockup in Bethnal Green. We get slaughtered in the pub and then go down there and basically play covers. Great fun. You know, we were doing some quite obscure tunes, really. However, it became apparent at some point that possibly we should consider writing a couple of songs and recording them, which we did. We put a single out on a Spanish label called Butterfly Records, probably around 2000-ish. John wrote one song called Little Man. I wrote another song called Dr. Morgan's Panacea. The whole group just kicked them into shape. I'm pretty proud of it. It's not really like anything else that I've done, but I think it shows, again, in the context of Strange Brew, I think it shows an influence from the British kind of psych sound.
Dancing on my bed, I opened up the curtains to see, but the sky had been replaced by the sea. I put my mind back in my head and walked out of the door. Saw a man with eyes like flying saucers on the floor. I went outside to wait for the bus, but the avenue had turned into dust. Dr. Morgan's Panacea. Dr. Morgan's glad to see you. When the world don't look so clear, dishing out his potions for free. He's the man you need.
Nothing in my head. 15
Little Bear, Big Bear, Dr. Morgan's Panacea. And actually, we're moving on to, well, bang up to date, really, and another project from Andy. We've heard one track from Bronco Bullfrog already, but actually we're going right up to date with the new release, Clarifoil. And yeah, it does very much seem like you've thrown every 60s pop psych influence into the melting pot there, Andy. And there's a particular Tony Hazard influence, it seems, on Clarifoil.
Yeah, I really like Tony Hazard, and I've met him and we're friends, and he is definitely an influence. Yeah, that Tony Hazard Sings Tony Hazard album is one of those early ones. Louis taped it for me years and years and years ago, and I couldn't believe how much I liked it. And I think generally the thing about Bronco Bullfrog that I like is when it comes to the crunch, the stuff we all really, really cross over with and we'll hold up and fight for always is more like the kind of pop stuff than the full-on psych. Bronco Bullfrog sort of split up for a while and we got back together a couple of years ago as mates as much as anything, because we hadn't seen a lot of each other. And the band just kind of re-emerged. So what we've been doing is writing songs, hanging out, recording, and the new Bronco Bullfrog recordings, of which this is the first to be released, it's out on the 22nd of July on State Records, 7-inch single only. In fact, it's like a faux acetate. And yeah, I think it definitely reflects our love of all the 60s stuff and the stuff we've been talking about on the show today. And you know, we put the vocals through a Leslie on one bit, and then there's all the kind of the old bop 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 harmonies, the Who bits, and anything. The whole point of Bronco Bullfrog was always like, how much stuff can we get into 4 minutes? We're really chuffed about the way these recordings have turned out. I think Clarifoil is a nice indicator of where we would like to take the band at this point. So yeah, get your orders in early, July the 22nd on State Records, Bronco Bullfrog, Clarifoil. This will be, it's a double A side, but this is the sort of plug side, as they used to say.
Clarifoil, 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 shine.
So that is the new single by Bronco Bullfrog, Clarifoil. And actually, our final track, Andy, I understand this hasn't been released yet.
No, this track is from 1973 and technically, officially, hasn't been released yet either. And it's great to put my knowledge, such that it is, to some use. Fairly recently, a great Spanish label called Gerson Records, G-U-E-R-S-S-E-N, they've been reissuing some pretty classic kind of British late 60s rock cornerstones. They've been asking me to do liner notes for them. But the most recent one, and this is an album that is completely new to me, I didn't know anything about this till about 4 months ago, is this band Fairfield Ski, this Brummie band, and the album is finally being mastered and prepared in an appropriate and respectful fashion for release in June or July on Gerson, on vinyl. And it's great, it's wicked, it's like there's a lot of sort of Bee Gees kind of songcraft in there. There's the Hammond organ thing, like I was saying a minute ago, which is why it's attracted this sort of prog tag over the years, and some kind of ballads, and, you know, it's very much... It sounds like a late 60s record. I think it was cut in sort of 72 or 73. Jason's been very kind in allowing me to bombard you with this really, really long sort of centerpiece, which is two songs called. One's called Would You Mind? And the second one's called The Writer. And I think that it's the best thing on the record. And I like the idea of me sitting here nearly 30 years after buying my Kinks compilations and my Creation compilations and still being exposed to this stuff, still finding new stuff. And it's a perfect example of that and possibly a nice way to sort of close the circle. So you're going to hear Would You Mind and The Writer from the forthcoming reissue by Fairfield Ski on Gerson Records. And as I said, it's out soon and I can heartily recommend it if you like the kind of music Jason plays on The Strange Brew. And of course you do, because otherwise you wouldn't be listening.
Thank you so much, Andy. It's been a great selection of tunes. Thank you so much for your time.
Bless you. It's been my pleasure. Thank you very much. And good luck with the show and everything. And keep taking the pills.
Certainly will do. Cheers.
Ta-da. Thank you.
Collect the dust from the air. Strange Brews, the show.